Last Sunday, we celebrated in church. We were celebrating the triumphant entry of Jesus. And then today continues another celebration as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. So as we celebrate today, if you just are excited and need to say amen today. Amen. Because there is just so much that has gone on this week. At least so much has gone on this week when Jesus rose and defeated death for our sins. And for me personally, this week has been a week of ups and downs as well. You know, last week I just was very, very energized from last Sunday's service. And then I went through the week and with the Monday-Thursday service and the Good Friday service in Cory that I was involved in, just adds a lot of weight to the week. And it was a roller coaster ride this week. And today, it's I'm on top and excited again. But I also learned something this week, and a pastor friend of mine shared this a while back, and I thought, oh, that poor guy. I can't ever see myself going through that. But this week, I learned something. You know, when I was younger, I was pretty cool. One of my first memories was this yellow BMX bike my parents got me, and it was black with yellow spoked wheels. It was awesome. And I remember riding it. Me and my friend would ride it, singing the Beach Boys song and going to the neighbors for candy. We were pretty tough. We were cool kids. Then I get to high school, and it's still going pretty well for me, you know. I was friends with almost all the kids there. Got along with the popular kids, the not-so-popular kids, and I was cool. I married the homecoming and prom queen. I mean, how much cooler can you get than that, right? I mean, come on. And then this week I'm driving, and I'm bringing my daughter home from her volleyball practice, her and her friend. And as I'm singing along to some good songs on the radio, I look in the mirror, and all they're doing is rolling their eyes at me. And I'm slowly realizing that I don't think I'm cool any longer. That's perfect. Talk about some hard lessons learned. And I got to learn to let go of that. I got to learn to let go that I might not be as cool as I once was. And it made me think as I studied this week that that's one of the hardest things we do as humans, is to let go of things, to let go of good things, to let go of bad things, some hurts, past hurts or mistakes we've made, loved ones along the way, or even control. That's probably one of the biggest things for me is control. And I got to learn to let go of control and that I don't have to be in charge of everything. And really, there's no good reason for me to hang on to all these things, for the control and all that. Because as we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 25 today, God really has taken care of it all. And we don't need to worry about things. We don't need to worry about how we try to control everything in life. And if you have your Bible, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 25. And really what's going on in here is Isaiah, the prophet, is foretelling a lot of what God has laid on his heart, but it's foretelling of what is to come. Some of it speaks to, I believe, the death and resurrection of Christ that we're celebrating today, but some of it I also believe speaks to the second coming of Christ, and we can glean both from that. So verse 6 through verse 9 of Isaiah chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine and the best meats and the finest wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all the faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him. He saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. There's a lot of stuff in them short four verses. There's a whole lot of stuff in there. And I could, as I read that, I thought, boy, how am I going to do this all in one Sunday? We could spend months looking at that and picking it apart. But what we're going to look at today are some few key points that I believe are related to the resurrection, the death and the resurrection of Christ, and what all it meant. Because after all, how do you tell a story, retell it, that's been celebrated over 2,000 years? So what we're going to do is we're going to look at this. And what we're going to look at is how death was defeated and how God has removed our disgrace. And I believe that part in verse 8 was talking about our sins that were removed because of what Jesus did. And these two verses, verses 7 and 8 in particular, if you read them and take them home and read them and reread them, they really could be verses like John 3:16 that we memorize and we write on our walls and we put on plaques, except the one problem with the verses are they're not real eloquent. They're not fancy sounding. You know, they don't all just make us, they don't all flow real good when we read them. But there's a lot of truth in them. Verse 7, God will destroy the shroud, the sheet over all nations. I believe as we read that and as I studied, Isaiah was talking about death there. Death and all it brings to us. And it's not a happy subject, even to today. He will swallow up death forever. And as Isaiah was saying these words, this, of course, is Old Testament stuff. And they didn't have the new covenant with Jesus yet. So death was something that was, I mean, it still hurts today, but it's something extraordinarily painful then because they didn't have the forgiveness and the salvation that we can receive because of what Christ did on the cross. And a lot of what Isaiah is talking about here, though, a lot of it speaks to the resurrection. And I hope I don't confuse you. Try to stay with me here. But he's really talking, too, a lot about the second coming of Christ. And how when that happens, we're really going to be celebrating that day. But at the same time, he's talking about the second coming. He's talking about the resurrection of Christ and how God defeated death as Christ rose from the dead. And he defeated death not only, well, he defeated our spiritual death. Physical death is something we still go through. And we can't deny that fact. Our bodies age. Matter of fact, this week I could hardly walk straight because my back hurt. I wrenched it last week doing something, and finally today it's really feeling real good. But our bodies, as we get older, they age and we break down. And as that happens, we get frustrated with things. But truthfully, if you think of it this way, maybe we should be getting excited as our bodies age because we're getting that much closer to an eternity in heaven where we don't feel any pain, where there is no sickness, there is no sorrow, and we're there celebrating and worshiping God forever. It's all sometimes as to how we look at things. But we need to remember today that Jesus defeated death, and he rose from the grave, and that death no longer has dominion over us. You know, we can be sad when we lose loved ones, or when we go to funerals and we see people lying there. But really, if we truly believe, if we believe in God and our salvation and our heart is right with God and we've accepted the fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and our sins were forgiven, not only forgiven by God, but forgotten about, as we go to a funeral or as we think of our own death, and I'm going to get off this death thing because this is supposed to be a celebration, but as we think of this, it should be a celebration. Because we know that we are going to be better off, or that person that we're there mourning their loss is in a much better place than we are today. And it should be a celebration. We should get excited. And if we truly believe in God, there's nothing about death that should scare us. It should be exciting. God has defeated it forever. The grave couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. We switched our purple sash of mourning to a white sash today in celebration. I wore a white shirt today, and I almost made it through breakfast without getting it dirty. But we're here celebrating today. Almost. I got a couple spots on it. But that is news worth celebrating. That Christ lived a sinless life, walked on this earth, faced the same temptations we do, day in and day out, but not once sinned. Not once did he sin. And he went to the cross, died there for our sins. He paid our price, but rose again and defeated death so that we can be in relationship with God, that we can someday stand in front of our Maker, pure and holy because of what Jesus did for us. Because of what he did. And if we can let go of our human thinking here and realize that there is no spiritual death and that there's so much more to this, not only in these verses does it tell us that God has removed death from us and we no longer have to worry about that, but there's something else there at the end where it says he removed our disgraces. Does anybody catch that part as I read it? I think as I read that and I studied it, it's a fancy way of saying that God has removed our sins. He's took away everything in our past, everything we've done, everything that everybody in this world has done, and wiped them away because of what Jesus did on the cross. And how that all happened, truthfully, a lot of this stuff is mystery. And we're never going to really grasp it all. And as soon as we start thinking that we completely understand everything in Scripture and we know how it all works perfectly, I guarantee you God will show you that you know very little. It's a mystery, but we have to have faith in it and understand it. The only thing I, well, not the only thing, but what I can understand and what I grasp my head around is that God needed, he's holy and he's pure, and he needed a sacrifice for our sins, and Jesus was that sacrifice. And what we need to do is let go of those sins, let go of our past, let go of the hurts, let go of control. Because truthfully, a sin is anything that keeps us from being in relation with God. Anything that keeps us at a distance from our Maker is a sin, and we need to let go of that. We need to be willing, first of all, and we need to repent of our past, of the things that keep us from God. And he will forgive us. He is faithful in that, no matter what. I've heard it said quite often that, oh, I've done too many things. There's no way God could forgive me. Well, that's hogwash, people. God will forgive you. God can forgive anything. And we just need to let go and receive. Let go of those things that trouble us. Let go of our past. Even let go of our present. Let go of today. Don't worry about everything. But one of the biggest struggles, I think, is to let go of our future. Let go of our control and just let God lead our lives. Let go and let God lead because he knows what he's doing. To me, that's one of the biggest struggles. I've always liked to be in control. And to know exactly what I'm doing. And I've had things planned out for years. I knew exactly where I was going to be when in my life. And I'll share that plan with you someday. It includes none of this. Okay? It included a whole bunch of other things. But God knew what he was doing. And he knows what he's doing with you. But we hate to let go. We hate to let go of things. Yesterday when we were back at my grandparents celebrating Easter, one of the things I had to do before our festivities was get some of my old farm equipment out because we're going to have a sale here at the end of the month to get rid of it because I don't need it anymore. And that was a struggle for me. It really was. I love my skid loader, but I don't need it anymore, and it's tough to let go of those things. But I know if I trust in God, even them silly little things, and let go of that stuff, I know he knows what's best. And we need to let him lead our lives. You know, a few weeks ago, when we started Lent, those of you that have been here that are regular attenders, and if you're visitors today, thank you for coming. It's a blessing to have so many people here today. Please come back. But I handed out nails, and I think we passed the basket today. If you have one, just get it out and hold it in your hand. And if you don't have one, we're going to do a little thing here in a little bit. There's some up front here, and you can grab one. But I asked you guys to carry these nails, and I know some of you did. And these nails were to remind us all Lenten season of what Christ did for us on the cross. Of how he took our sins. And we also learned a few weeks ago, not only does God forgive us of our sins, he does one thing that we can't do, and he forgets them. How beautiful is that? And so what we're going to do today, we're going to sit here, and we all have 1, 2, 3, 10, 20, 30 things in our lives that keep us at a distance from God. And this nail today is going to symbolize that we're going to let go of that, and we're going to let God lead. So I ask you to close your eyes this morning and just sit there in silence. I want you to think of what is keeping you from growing closer to God. He loved you so much that he sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins. And not only are they forgiven, they're forgotten. What is it keeping you? Whether you've already accepted Christ as your personal Savior and need to recommit and give God back that control, or if this is the first time and you just feel the Spirit nudging and you just pray that prayer that, God, please come into my heart and take over my life. I can't do this without you any longer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. I thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. And I thank you that you're so powerful, God, that death could not keep him. And that our sins are forgiven and forgotten. And I thank you, Lord, that we can go away here today. We can go away and go to our families and eat nice meals, but we can celebrate that. That we can celebrate the fact that you loved us so much. And so, Lord, as we close today, I ask you to help us to leave whatever is keeping us from growing closer to you, to leave it at the cross. Amen. What I want now is what we're going to do quietly. Is we're going to leave our nails at the cross today. And so just from the front row, just make your way up and toss your nails and then follow back into your seats. And then we'll conclude with singing.